Leafs talk. J.D. Bugis, Sam McKee. Leafs win. They beat the Sabres. Congrats.
Oh, accomplishment.
Yeah, accomplishment. Big win. Big
I will say, historically, an extremely big house of horrors for the Toronto Maple Leafs, where many weird and awful things have happened. One that comes to mind is Brian McCabe shooting into his own net. There's multiple things that have happened there that are horrible. And for a moment there, when Owen Power fired one into the net to make it 5-4, I thought this might be in the latest chapter of horrific losses that the Toronto Maple Leafs have suffered in Buffalo. But a good challenge by Berube and co, and it didn't count. And then they went quietly into the night on a William Nylander empty netter. But yeah, boy,
There was a second there. I was going to say, if the Leafs blew that, good challenge by Craig Berube, by the way. Like
Stones. That's a Stones challenge. It is.
I texted you when I saw it. Like, that's as goaltender interference as goaltender interference gets. Like, you guys.
You're not allowed to go anywhere near the guys with the most equipment on in the whole rink. They're not playing in the game.
Cry about it all you want. You can't kick the goaltender's stick away from him when he's trying to go across the crease and make a save. Like, I don't know why.
They don't play in the game. They can do whatever they want out there. They just,
I know this is a little burn your bonnet. Your little
I hate
bonnet.
But this clearly is goalie interference. I understand.
Why are you
Because I'm offended by the rules of it. Like, it's just, if you don't want any contact, you're not allowed to have any contact. Just go back to Brett Hall.
Buddy, he's halfway in the crease. Like, look at where his skate enters.
Where Tavares is riding him in. Tavares has got his stick right in his back. He's riding him in.
Listen, go do Sabres talk, guys.
It's goaltender interference. It is. But the rules are soft. The rules are soft. That's it.
Good call. Easy call. No-brainer call.
I think you meant me.
I think that there's some that you can kind of quibble with all the time. I've had a few where, you know, again, I'm the eye in the sky. I know when it's going to be the right call. I got my track record is solid on these babies. Yeah. But for a second there before I saw the goalie interference, again, the clear goaltender interference, I had a little moment where I went, oh, my God, this is going to be David Ayers. I already put like four Sabres tweets out there. I even was texting with a couple of former Sabres. Like, it was this one was going to haunt Leafs fans if they lost. There was like, what, 80% Leaf fans in the stands tonight? Yeah. What a horrific, horrific time they would have had in the parking lot.
They wouldn't have been that bad because they would have outnumbered every single Sabres fan there. So it would have been.
I'm talking about getting in fights. I'm talking about like just eating the words. Like that is a nightmare scenario. There's no way that Leaf fans were feeling confident that were in the building when that goal horn went off for the fourth one. Like you got Matt Murray in net.
Yeah, you do. You want to talk about that?
Well, in a sec, I just got to comment on what you said. It's like, because I want to start on the Sabres because there's a reason why we're saying it would have been so embarrassing, right? Like, this isn't the Stars game the other night where if Dallas comes back, you go, okay, that sucks, but it's not an all-time embarrassment. Like, their franchise is in such a low spot that we just invoked David Ayers' name in terms of, like, pantheon of embarrassment for the Leafs had they blown this. And you're right. It used to be a house of horrors, but now it's a laugh factory. It is just lifeless there. They got no fans in the building for Leafs games. I know Leafs fans take it over. Bench looks dead. They had a little bit of punch at the end of the game, but dude, these guys, what the hell was that through the first two periods? How many times did they just break the Leafs out with turnovers where a defenseman is just pinching and the forward's not in the right spot? And Toronto just ends up getting to play shinny all-star game hockey. There was really like no energy in this game. And again, it's a team that has lost, what, now it's 12 straight? So it was 11 straight coming into tonight?
Yeah.
That's 11 straight.
They're winless in 12 because
whatever. Anybody who got loser.
No, me too. I hate it. They've lost 12 games in a row. They have yet to win in 12 games, a.k.a. lost 12
in a row. You've lost 12 games in a row. Yes. Anybody doing the semantics game? Like, well, actually,
they got a point in overtime,
They've lost 12 matches. Yeah.
For you to lose 12 in a row and have the other team's fans fill your building and then come out with that effort for two periods is just like beyond embarrassing. It's like you can say the coaching's bad. I agree. You can say Terry Pegula all you want. You can say the GM, whatever, like. That is a bunch of guys. They're star players, some of which who have already been paid, who are young, who dogged it tonight. Like, gross effort. And again, those couple Sabres that I messaged, rarely do you get guys that don't try to blame the organization first, right? When it comes to former players, they protect the shield. They were dogging the players too, man.
Well, here's what I'll say. You're the youngest team in the league. You haven't really added any good veteran players to that mix. Like, you think about what some teams have tried to do in terms of just like bringing in guys, like say what you will about the crappy Ducks, but they brought in Killorn. They just traded for Jacob Trouba. Like, they brought in like guys to like kind of try to be veterans on their team. It's just like, this is a bunch of kids who don't really have any, they don't have anything to look on, like, or look upon. Like, they don't have any direction. They're just giving up odd man rushes. They're pinching at the wrong time. They're just not connected. It's just an ugly looking team. And I texted you right before the game. I said, of all the games to go to, this is like, if you're a Sabres fan and you went to this game, you get to talk, like, you get to say that you were there when they lost their 12th in a row to the Leafs. And then you, like, when they win the cup in 2030, you could be like, I was there on December 20th, 2024, when we lost our 12th in a row and as 80% Leaf fans. Like, you are the truest of the true Sabre fan if you're in that building tonight. Because I'll tell you what, if the situation was reversed and there was a free Leafs ticket, I probably wouldn't have gone. Like, that's as bad as it is. That's just, I can't imagine how bad that is to be, like, that's just, it's brutal. So,
oh, if you're a Sabres fan, you got to sell that ticket. You're making a profit. It's one of the only games that you can actually make some money on. Like, it's a no-brainer. Like, you're not going.
I mean, the other thing is the people that go in Buffalo to this game, like, they just hate the Leafs so much, and it's like their Super Bowl to see them beat the Leafs. So that's a huge part of it as well.
But yeah, man. I could see more in these shots. There was like two Habs jerseys. There's as many Habs jerseys in the stands as there are Sabres jerseys.
I thought that might be one of those Giants football jerseys that looked like a Habs jersey. I first saw it, but it was a Habs jersey.
No, yeah, it's double Habs. Habs fans are representing.
Cheering for the Leafs, I guess. Like, maybe they had money line or something. They're all over at the Buffalo Casino. Anyways, they are a rudderless ship full of young guys that have been brought up in a losing culture, and there's just nothing there. Like, what's the move? Like, I honestly, what do you do?
I don't know. I like Owen Power.
Yeah, he's a good player, but like, I mean, he's 6'8" and he's never hit somebody.
I know, but
he's okay, but he's making $8.5 million a year.
Yeah,
it's like, you better be all right.
Yeah,
like, that contract's crazy.
Yeah. It's just,
and like, your boy Cousins is supposed to be a building block. And like, did he play tonight?
Listen, I'd like to plead the fifth on Dylan Cousins. Like, this is Gavin McKenna season. We're moving on to Gavin McKenna.
I think there's so many candidates on this Sabres team right now. And sorry to do Sabres talk, but this is the biggest story of the game, is how bad the Sabres are. Mm-hmm. But there's so many candidates on this team right now to be the next Sam Reinhart or the next Michael.
Yeah.
Or the next, you know, whoever, all the other guys, or the Montour, or all the guys that they got rid of, or even like think of Jake McCabe, who they got rid of and is like now really good for the Leafs. It's just like, there's so many.
Go on down the list. Every guy that leaves is a stud everywhere.
You don't think Cousins gets traded to like this, to like the Canucks, or gets traded to like somewhere where there's other good players? It's a bit more of a winning, or maybe not the Canucks. It's a bad thing. They all hate each other there. And they all stab each other in the back. I don't know.
I got a thing going on right now. I'm loving the Canucks stuff so much. My Twitter For You page is just like all Canucks.
Same. Anyway,
I'm just sharing it with all my buds who like the Canucks. I'm like, Jer.
Just to finish off the point, there's so many guys on that team that are definitely going to go somewhere else because they're so sick of playing hockey and be excellent, and Sabres fans are just going to be mired in this. Like, they've had, I think, what do they have, 8 top 10 picks? What's the number? Like, they've had an insane amount of picks.
8 years in a row. 8 years in a row where they've had a top 10 pick.
Dahlin is so good. Dahlin, like, jumps off the ice. I'm like, oh my God, he's noticeably great. And then outside of him, it's just like a bunch of blah. So, I don't know.
Dahlin is going to be like an excellent like Dallas star. It's just ready to change sweaters already. It's just,
who should the Leafs pick up from the league? Who should the Leafs pick up from the Sabres? Says RA.
You know what's weird with that is, it's like, you're right, Sammy. Your point is bang on, and the track record is so incredible for pilfering them for players that suck there and then are awesome somewhere else. But you watch a game like tonight, and you're like, I don't want any of them guys.
I do like Tuck. Tuck on a good team could play for sure. Good complimentary guy. gritty, big, can shoot it. Like he's got some skill. So if you're going to pick like a realistic guy from the Sabres is going to go to the Leafs, I'd take Tuck. But outside of that, realistically, like I'd take Tage Thompson on the Leafs. How's that? All right. Yeah, I'd take that.
Mm. Yeah. For what though?
Nothing. I don't know. Yeah. I would have sixth round pick. I don't know.
Sixth rounder.
The Sabres aren't trading any of the good players to Leafs.
That's whatever. For sure. Whatever you got back in the Liljegren trade, you repackage for a Buffalo Sabre.
You mean Liljegren of getting scratched by the Sharks fame? That guy?
Yeah. Somebody tweeted me because he got like a bad bounce goal like right away with the Sharks. Yeah. Like some fluke goal that went in. Yeah. They were like, okay, you trade
it. And now he got scratched. And I read the article about it. And it just honestly could have been Sheldon Keefe or Craig Berube talking about him. It was just like the same things.
Funny. If like anybody that was still on Liljegren Island, you got to spend some time like looking in the mirror at the level, like Larry David when he eats or smokes weed, he's just staring at him, screaming at himself. That's the level you got to take a look in the mirror. Okay, you want to do Murray first? You said,
yeah. I guess we should do Murray because that's one of the big stories of the game.
I mean, yeah. To me, there's a couple more ahead of it. You want my Murray take, right, Rip?
Yeah,
he's a fine backup.
Sure.
What else do you want to say?
I think we've been spoiled big time this year by world-class goaltending.
Yeah.
And anything below that, you're like, oh, my God. Like, how did I ever live like this?
Yeah.
But that first one goes in. The first one, we were just like, you and I were actually just texting back and forth laughing. I was like, oh, my God, Murdog. Like, that is just as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
I rewound it because I couldn't figure out how it went in.
Yeah.
But, like, I got to tell you, I know this is a cheesy sort of heartfelt thing. But I'm happy for the guy, man. Like, listen, I don't know how far this is going to go, how long he's going to be here, how long he's going to stay healthy. But this guy is a two-time Stanley Cup champion that got double hip surgery, took a league minimum contract, went down to the minors and played for the Marlies and played well for the Marlies, didn't complain, didn't say one thing to anybody, and then earned his way back to the Leafs and got to play and won in a game. So I think it's a great story for him to actually even get back here because I never, ever thought this was possible. I thought he looked a lot like Matt Murray to me. Like, I wasn't like, whoa, those hips. He sure looks like a new Matt Murray. I thought he looked a pretty Matt Murray-y. But, good for him. Good to see him back in the net, I guess.
Yeah. I wish people would show the same level of compassion for NHL players, millionaires that make it back to playing professional hockey by, you know, working out and sticking with it because they can afford to and there's nothing else to do, that they show like the homeless.
We're talking about the Leafs here.
I'm making a joke. It's just always so funny to me when people do the like, I'm so happy for this guy. It's like, okay, like, I guess so. I find it when they like overcome like a disease to be really inspiring, right. Okay, but when it's just injuries,
Mr. Zag, let's go. Get on with
you gave your opinion. I'm going to give mine. You said you're Mr. Happy about Matt Murray.
Got to play again.
Yeah, good for him. Like I said, I think that some people get like overly sentimental with this stuff and it makes me laugh. Like that's all. Yeah. It's just like, I think it's kind of corny when you get people that are always like,
you're going to say me.
No, because it's not just you. I see it all the time. Like, this is a popular take that people have. Insert player who's old and gets injured and then plays the sport, and people are like, I'm so happy for this person. I'm like, okay. I just am like, play well. Then I'll be happy. Play well in the net.
Here's what Matt Murray said post-game. I was able to take a moment there in warmups and during the anthem and kind of just look around and appreciate the long journey that it's been and to think of all the people who helped get me there. Buddy, if that, you know, just the Murdog. Yeah. The Murdog, you know.
The Murdog.
I loved him.
No. All I can think of is that this guy was supposed to be a Team Canada goalie. We never ended up getting that in the cycle.
He's probably better than Montembeau. Everybody's highlight I see is Montembeau letting in 5 goals.
At one point, this guy was like the great Canadian hope in that. There was a real moment for him. Yeah, it's fine. Like, I'm not displeased for him. I just I don't get sentimental. I wasn't like choking up seeing Matt Murray in the net like you, I guess. that one game that he beat the Lightning in the regular season. I remember the good times. I think he was fine. I actually don't like the one goal was awful, but to me, that's like a pretty standard goaltender win for a backup. Like, you go in against a bad team, You make enough saves. You let in one bad one, and your team outscores the problems. So yep. good for him. I thought he was solid, like totally B-plus game from a backup to me. Like, yep. I'm fine with him playing games. He yep. missed the, like, the one goal was bad, but the other one, too, where he gets picked up high is bad angle.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, like, I mean, we saw that a lot in his first in here, yeah. where he would, when it would go cross crease, he would do that move where he'd, like, slide and then kind of, like, lunge.
Yeah.
And then the whole top of the net would be wide open. And it was a great shot. He went bar down. But I don't think he really needed to score there. I mean, that first one is just
that's
you know, like I've said before, if old Chris Bernacki of my beer league team let that one in, I'd be grumbling, let alone Matt Murray. So like that was the sky one. Yeah, he knew. Yeah. But just a huge, huge night for courageous Matt Murray against all odds. Against all odds, making it back to the national.
During this holiday season, I just hope we all take a little time to reflect on the millionaires who play professional sports. And
I feel happy for them. I will be doing lots of reflecting on professional sports over the holiday season by watching them.
Yeah. And by, oh, God, can't wait to crush beers and watch sports again. That's the true holiday season for me. It's like,
agreed.
Oh, man, Netflix. Human compassion talk with JD Funkus from Mo3M is funny. That is funny, buddy. That's a good one. Third line again.
There's red hot. The one goal was so beautiful, and it was actually Marner that upped it to McMahon. Mm-hmm. But McMahon has enough tape out there that I don't know who it was chasing. Number 8, I think, on the Sabres was chasing him. And there's enough tape of McMahon now where he thought that the guy that he was going to dive and go to the net. So the guy played that he was going to go to the net. This is the first goal.
Yeah, this is the other one
where this is a beautiful goal too. It's a great play by McKay from behind the net. But like,
I think everybody,
how is there a 3-on-1 from your own blue line? That's just beer league level defending. I mean, it's awful. Look at that. Oh, your boy Cousins. Jesus. That's a horrible play by him there. Anyways, it was that. But the goal I was talking about, everybody thinks that McMahon's going to dive hard to the net here, and he tricks him and stops up and makes a great drop pass, and Domi goes top shelf. Like, see, this guy definitely thinks he's driving the net. Mm-hmm. Nope. Stop. Bang. Great pass. And I really feel like McMahon and Domi are starting to show some chemistry. Yep. And you have Robertson out there where the puck's landing on his stick in the sweet spot, and he's firing it in. Like, but I really do think, I'm not just saying this because I'm a Nick Robertson hater. I really do think these two are the key for it. And Robertson's an excellent complimentary piece to these two guys. It's an awesome line. And you keep riding the hot hand. I've loved what I've seen from these guys. It's been awesome.
Yeah.
Amulet power, baby.
I'm with you on the chemistry between those two. Like, I don't know. What, I thought the same thing when McMahon scores this or makes this assist. Like, how do you know? Like, the vision to know he was there. When did he take the peek? Like, it's super deceitful. Like, he does not do like the full check back. He just knew where the guy was. So great play by him. Amazing finish by Domi. Like,
Whew,
sexy stuff. Roll it again. Hoo-wee. That's pretty.
The thing that drives you nuts about Domi. It's like the old Cabrelet thing.
I know.
When it's like, when he'd never shoot, then he went to that All-Star game and went 4-for-4 on the targets. You're like, come on, bro, fire it a bit more. Like, we know you can fire it. So I'm loving this line. And thank God you know what? This is the lesson. You have NHLers in your bottom six, and you get some goals from your bottom six.
Yeah.
We just watched a team for a month that had all AHL guys and just depended on the top half. And it's like, this is allowed, and this is possible, and it's been great. And they found something here. And like I said, you press. It's not going to last forever, but you try to get as many wins out of it as you can. But God, these guys have been good together. Like, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that they definitely get a ton of credit for this. And like, I'm not trying to take anything away from them, because I think that the McMahon-Domi thing is real. For Robertson, though, like, you got to keep proving it against not just two games against the Sabres and your brother's team that you dominate against. Like, I haven't checked his stat because it was tweeted to us by a fan. Someone tweeted that he has 14% of his goals or his points against like the Stars alone, like Nick Robertson. It's like, honestly, that's a pretty
right.
I know it does, because he seemingly always scores against his brother. So for Robertson, I'll give him his flowers. I thought he made an awesome play taking the hit on the first goal. Like, he eats one.
Got hammered.
Tiny little guy. He gets crushed making the play. Yeah. You love that. That's a good heart play. Knows he's going to take it and makes it, breaks him out, and the Leafs end up getting on the board first. I think he's been better. I think that he's shown them, you know, some signs of encouragement. I don't think that you dump him simply because of what the number is and what you're going to get back for him. But yeah, like, if you're asking me, do you think that the Leafs don't need to upgrade that spot at some point? Like, no, it's still very much like, I'm hoping that come playoff time, someone else is there, and he would have to do a lot over the next month and a half for me to feel otherwise.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And listen, I'm impressed to see him start it finally falling for him.
Yeah.
Like, people were like, oh, he's getting all these I didn't even think like the chances that he was getting earlier, like he was fumbling the puck a lot and like he had no confidence. Like, I thought he was a really, really ineffective player for the first half of this season. Like, really was a detriment at times, and it showed because he was scratched in the lineup. Mm-hmm. But this is what you need to do to keep your place in the lineup if you're Nick Robertson. You need to have the puck land here, and you need to be able to shoot it in because that's what they need from you, and he's been doing it. So credit to him.
Yeah, but that's not the question with him, though, right? It's like when you're playing against the Buffalo Sabres and they give you a free 2-on-1 and you get to walk.
Shoot it in.
No one ever doubted that he could do that.
No, fair. That's fair.
Like, that's the thing. So it's like taking the hit. That one was like way more meaningful to me than the goal tonight. If that makes any sense. Anyways, what's the next thing? Oh, want to talk about Matthews?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about Matthews for sure.
Yeah.
I was talking about a bit on Kipper and Bourne today, that Brube, like him missing practice today, and then Brube talking about him working on it. Right. And like, got to work through it. You know, him working through it is good. And I like the fact that he's playing and I understand that he wants to be there. But like, is it going to be like him working through it now? Is that going to work better for him in April? Like, are we sure missing a few more games in December against bad teams? Is that going to be a detriment to the Leafs? Like, could they have won this game tonight without Matthews? And then you watch this game tonight and the beating this guy takes. Gets hammered, what, four times tonight? They're clearly keying in on...
Well, one really bad one. One where he looked fine, actually, after the Tage Thompson hit, but like those were the two biggies tonight.
So this is from Lucas. I know you guys your guys' jobs, but when Brube says Austin's playing hurt and every Sabre is trying to get a shot in on him, how can you still want detailed injury reports? Well, everybody's known he's hurt all year. I mean, it's pretty public knowledge that he flew to Germany.
Yeah,
he's
played eight. I was going to say, what do you mean at this point?
Sick take, Lucas. Sick take. Anyways, sorry to chirp our fans, but that's a tough one. I don't know if he needs to be playing on a Friday night against the Sabres if he's missing practice.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I'm at here. And this season's clearly been more about team and less individual stuff. And you think of the end of last year with the chasing 70 goals and chasing 100 points for Nylander and all that stuff that was so painful. And they've obviously been very careful with guys this year, missing a few extra games here and there and just that kind of stuff. It just surprises me they're forcing him into these, like, he's getting buried out there. And I don't know. And maybe it's just an easy take now that after the game happened, but I said it today too in the show. Like, if he's fighting through something in December, I don't know if he needs to be playing against the worst team in the league.
Here's my only counter to it is like,
yeah, let me have it.
One is one of the beauty things about hockey that I really love is that it's not a load management sport.
I get it. I get it.
And I don't like opening up the door to that because truly, man, like, there's all these conversations around the NBA right now about like what ruined basketball, right? Is it the threes? Is it LeBron made the super teams? And they're like, the schedule's too long. And I'm like, do you know why the schedule feels so much longer in the NBA than it does in hockey? It's because their stars have told you many times, like, we don't care about this game and we're going to sit this sucker out. And I think if you're those Leaf fans that drove all the way down to Buffalo.
I get it.
I'm just saying, like, I understand the other side. All I'm saying is.
This isn't straight load management. He's obviously.
I know it isn't, but it kind of is. Like, part of the sport is if you're hurt, not injured, you play. And so if they think that he's injured or they think that he can aggravate it in a serious way, then you're right. Then they shouldn't play him. My belief is that whatever this is, they feel like it's hurting him. But man, they rested him for what, a month almost? I know he only missed 9 games, but it stretched out over that period where they didn't play any games. So it was like he flew to Germany. He got this thing checked out. Like, whatever it is, they've already babied it. Like, they've babied it. So to me, it's like if you're starting to rest him and you're trying to like give him these nights off, that's terrifying because you're thinking to yourself, well, damn, maybe this is just something that isn't really going to get better. I just with and
well, it already like, is. It already is terrifying.
Well, dude, here's the thing about why Lucas's take is so bad. Like, because yeah. A, the team has gaslit you into believing this like false thing that, you know, like, oh, it's better for the team for them not to know the narratives, and yeah. you as a fan should have less information. But B, it's like, yeah, these guys are taking shots at him every which way, anyways. Like yeah. they already know he's out of lineup and he's coming back. They're not yeah. going to start treating him differently. Like, oh, okay, well, if they know it's his back, then they'll do this. Or if they know it's his rib, they'll yeah. do that. What told me about, though, how banged up he actually is the Morgan Riley reaction on that hit. Because that is just a clean hit. It's kind of a nothing play. And yeah. I like that Morgan Riley went in there and did it, right? Like, hey, the Leafs yeah. are going to tell you, if you touch Matthews, there's a price to be paid. Even Tavares rushes in when he takes the cross check to the yeah. rib cage.
Punched him in the face.
Yeah, he threw a rabbit punch. I thought he might even yeah. take a penalty there. I was Same. Like, whoa. But Riley and Tavares' reactions are the reactions of guys where it's like they're sticking up extra for him, not just because he's wearing the C on his sweater. They're sticking up for him because they know he's hurt.
100%. Yep. Bang on. Yeah. So nothing else to add on that. But
yeah,
I just he's obviously able to play. So, and you're right. Like the NBA is just a sick league right now.
Sick league.
Tough,
yeah.
It's tough brutal. Watch. I get it. But I just. If the focus is on the playoffs and like not the sort of, you know, the accomplishments and all this stuff, this is one that if you could have got away with him being banged up and missing, that's all.
Sure.
That's
yeah. Listen, I'm
not against goal. And he scores a goal tonight too. So it's, you yeah. know,
but he hates the Sabres. You don't think he's enjoying yeah, embarrassing yeah. them? Like he hates
the Sabres.
He really hates the Sabres.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like again, and buddy, you know what? It's nice to be able to see the Leafs get to play in a loud stadium full of their fans.
Buddy, I know that crowd was electric down there.
Yeah.
I just know it. Like, it must have been awesome.
Yes. It definitely yeah. looked awesome. Yep. Anyways, I got nothing else on this game. I looked through my little even mini notes.
The one thing I wanted to check before we left was the ice times for the defensemen tonight. I'm just quickly looking right now. So,
wow, the producers pandered to the crowd, eh? They put
play the fans in Buffalo. That's like wow. That was like the, remember the Winnipeg Jets? Yeah. Who's the fan? The first star of the game was the fans.
Yeah, that's our producers. That's Christian. Go, that's Luke. That's Alex. The boys were like, they wanted the cheap pop. They came in like the wrestler. It's so great to be back here in San Diego. That's what they did tonight. Love it.
So I guess this is skewed because it kind of fits my narrative, but I can't go full into it because it's skewed because of the fight that Morgan Riley had. Mm-hmm. But when everybody, I raised an eyebrow when I saw that Connor Timmins and Morgan Riley were playing together today. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's an interesting sort of development. But I'm like, maybe that's just the third pair. Like, maybe they're going to play. And so Morgan Riley ends up playing 18-something, but he had the five-minute major, so it's you know, he'd be up around 20. So it doesn't exactly fit my narrative. Benoit ends up playing 16-24 today. So I think them putting Riley with Timmins very telling in terms of what they think Riley's role on this team is. Like, I think Timmins has been the worst defenseman on the decor for quite a while here now. I think it's pretty clear, like, you know, Benoit has his moments, but at least he has more of a kind of a role on the decor in terms of, you know, hitting guys and playing physical, penalty killing type of guy. And then putting Riley with him, I'm like, they're really changing Riley's role in front of our eyes here in terms of their trust level in him. And, you know, you look at what Keith had to use him because of what their decor looked like for a lot of years. He was their number one go-to guy. And that's just not the case anymore. It's just not like, you know, McCabe plays more than him. Oliver Ekman-Larsson plays more than him. Tanev, I think, probably plays a little less, but in more important roles. Like, we're watching Morgan Riley's role change big time on this team. And you got to ask yourself, he makes $7.5 million. It's an interesting one to me, just to keep an eye on.
My take with Riley is remained pretty steadfast. And I did this one. Did I have you do my season preview?
Yeah. I
think on we did my one. Pod?
I can't remember, but I think we did one.
Yeah, we did. We did a season preview, right? And we did like storylines, and then we did like whipping boy draft, right? Like we did that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We did.
Joseph Wall was my whipping boy.
Yeah. Whoops.
That was right for the first month.
Started hot. Yeah. You started hot. Yeah.
Cooling off now.
But you went hot with it. Yeah. I can't even remember what whipping boy choice was. Oh, I think I picked. No, OEL was a down ballot guy. Anyway, who cares? But the point I made at the beginning of the season was like, this is a big year for Morgan Riley, because I think a lot of people, myself included, have been saying for a while now, like, hey, if you're making 7.5, why is it that they always have to be finding you the right partner? Like, are you worth 7.5 if the other guy is meant to be elevating you? Like, I thought the deal was that you're supposed to be elevating the other guy. And I think one of the criticisms that you can make of Morgan Riley over his tenure as a Leaf is like, that's rarely happened where his D partner has felt like, wow, this guy got materially better from playing with Morgan Riley. And out of everybody, when it comes to like the excuse making that ends up happening, right? Like Riley sort of gets away with it probably the most in terms of not elevating a line mate. Like,
yeah,
like,
no, you're right.
That's just it. So anyway, but I actually thought he played well tonight. I loved that he stuck up for Matthews. And like, 100%. I did think it was so funny though, that he's like, I'm going to stick up for him by taking a penalty and getting the beat, getting the wheels beat off me, cause I'm not a fighter. Like, well, that.
I'm playing the tallest guy in the league.
That's what I mean. Like, good, showed tons of heart. He's got big time heart. I loved it. Like I said, I will never hate this. I think it's kind of lame that in general, clean hits always end up in a fight. But I love fighting, so if this is the only way that we're going to get it, I guess I'll take it. And B is like, again, situational, knowing it's a captain who's getting hurt, sticking up for him and saying, hey, this is what's going to happen with our team if you hit Austin Matthews. I'm so game with. And like, this is why Morgan Riley gets away with it, is because nobody questions that element of his game, the heart.
And a cross check to the face that saved the Leaf season last year, too.
Yeah. Saved it.
Listen, this is such a nitpick. If you're watching on YouTube, I hate the way Matthews reacts to this fight. And that's I won't pick on it too much. But him turning and skating away when the guy's fighting for your honor, I just like, oh my God, I hate that so much. Last thing I'll say.
I agree.
He gives him a little pap on the shin after. So, but during it, I hate it. Last thing I'll say, the Leafs agree with me. Mr. Compassion. Murdaugh earns the belt tonight.
What a shocking.
Rousing return to greatness. Matt Murray receives the player of the game belt in his return, triumphant, heroic return to the NHL.
Again, 'tis the season where we reflect on the things that inspire us, ways we can do better, people we root for and champion. And I agree.
You inspired me.
You inspire me too. All right, let's wrap this up. This is way too long for a Sabres game. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, well, they got a point in overtime, so they actually, no.